Welcome, Fat Cutters. My name is Blythe Alberg, and I am here with my partner, Dr. Ray Heinisch. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Blythe. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I am really excited to be bringing a fresh, new, exciting podcast to our listeners.
Yes, and in today's show, we're going to be talking philosophy with people. We're going to talk about how to change our mindset in such a way so that all of the wonderful weight loss tactics that we learn, we will actually act upon and act upon consistently. So today we're going to be talking about this concept of becoming a pro, becoming a professional fat cutter, if you will. And it's based on some of the work of a gentleman by the name of Stephen Pressfield. Now, a lot of our listeners may know Stephen Pressfield from some of the work that he's done in fiction writing. For example, one of his most popular books was The Legend of Bagger Vance, which, as you know, was made into a movie, which was a pretty good movie, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's a little known fact that Stephen Pressfield has also written a couple of nonfiction books, books that are focused on this concept of becoming pro. Now, both you and I have read the book. I found it to be a life-changing book myself, and I recommend it to everybody to go out and get the audio version of the book and listen to it while you work out, right?
Very easy listening, very easily understood, and it really rang a lot of bells for me.
So he talks about this concept of becoming pro like this. I'm going to kind of paraphrase a lot of things from the book, okay. And some of the quotes I'm going to give you are going to be direct quotes from the book. This is a paraphrase. He says, becoming pro is kind of a warrior code, internal rather than external, in which the enemy is identified as those forms of self-sabotage that is referred to as resistance with a capital R. The technique for combating these foes can be described as turning pro.
I think that all of us can resonate with the idea of resistance with a capital R. I don't know that all of us are aware of it, but that's why we're here today.
Right, because a lot of weight loss, and we've said this before, is about finding the obstacles in people's lives, i.e. the resistance, and systematically removing them one at a time, right?
Right, and it takes an order.
It does. It takes an order, a chronology. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to talk about today is what exactly is a pro? What exactly is an amateur? How do they differ? And how do we move from the amateur to the pro, right?
That's the big key right there.
Now, he talks about when you turn pro, your life becomes simpler. It doesn't mm-hmm. become easy. Turning pro is actually hard. It hurts. It demands entering the pain zone of effort, risk, and exposure. Decisions about what to do and what not to do can be made quickly when you're a pro. Clarity brings focus, and focus brings mm-hmm. productivity. I think there's some very great wisdom in that statement, is that when you turn pro, first and foremost, it may be simple, because when you turn pro, life really does get simple, but the simple things aren't necessarily the easy things, right?
Simple does not mean easy. Simple is simplified. So you're taking out a lot of the things that you know, mangle everything up and make it difficult. So being focused and direct helps simplify those decisions that can just muddle you up.
I'll give you an example. You know, when we talk about drinking water, for example, mm-hmm. when we say, is that simple? Yes, it's simple. In fact, mm-hmm. if we were just to make one change in our life where we would say, okay, I'm just going to drink water, nothing else but water. Then all of a sudden, when you get thirsty, you don't have to think about 20 different options. Do I get a Diet Coke? Do I get a regular mm-hmm. Coke? Do I get a green tea? Do I get a diet green tea? You know, do I get a cup of coffee? Which kind of coffee? A latte? You know, it's just a matter of making the simple choice to drink water.
That's a great point.
But is it easy to move from Diet Pepsi or Diet Soda to water? It's not.
I think the longer you do it, the easier it becomes.
And that's a very good point, which we'll talk about as this episode goes on. Because the truth is, becoming pro is hard. It's tough to lose weight, but it does get easier over time. The problem is most people don't stick with the changes long enough for it to get easy.
Right.
So let's talk about an amateur, okay? When we talk about amateur, you oftentimes hear amateur versus pro being discussed in a sense from the perspective of career, right? Like, yes. If you're a professional athlete or an amateur athlete, you know, a professional athlete is basically a career athlete. An amateur athlete is somebody who has a job outside, maybe a weekend warrior, somebody who plays softball, you know, or baseball on the side. They're not considered a professional. But this whole concept of amateur and pro goes much, much deeper. It goes down to the being of the person, right?
And you can be a pro at several things in life if you can figure out how to become a pro generally, like at that deepest level.
Right. And there are certain characteristics of a pro that we're going to talk about today. And there are certain characteristics of the amateur. And oftentimes the amateur is kind of the antithesis of the professional. And so when we say, you know, when we get into that section on turning pro or what makes a pro, then, you know, we will say, for example, the first quality is the pro shows up every day and the amateur shows up sporadically. Right. So you'll see kind of the difference and the conflict that occurs when you decide to make that shift.
Okay.
But there's one thing about an amateur that I do want to point out right from the start. Well, there are two things. Number one, an amateur has a tendency to cling to his or her story. They take the material of their personal pain and basically they use it to draw attention to themselves.
Okay.
You know, they create a life or a character or a personality around their struggle, their pain, or their difficulties. So let's take an example from weight loss. We work with quite a few people who have the goal of losing weight. And oftentimes they come to us with the character of being a dieter, right?
Yes.
Like a professional dieter, if you will. Meaning that they go from one diet to the next diet to the next diet to the next diet. And because they know about every single diet on the market, they're a professional dieter.
That's right. There's something to be said about that. I mean, putting the energy that it takes to become a professional dieter takes a big commitment. But you can make it so much simpler. We can simplify being the professional dieter into being the pro at fat loss.
Right. So they can't exist together in the same continuum. You can't
there you
be
go.
A yes. professional dieter and simultaneously be a professional fat cutter.
Right. That's
at
exactly
the time.
Point I was making. Yes.
Because they're in conflict. There's a difference between knowing what to do or having lots of knowledge and actually being able to apply that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The second characteristic of the amateur is they have a tendency to be addicted.
Okay.
And Stephen Pressfield describes addiction as repetition without progress. He says addicts are boring because they never do the work. They go nowhere. They travel in circles and they never arrive at a destination. Does that not sound like the weight loss struggle?
Do you know what? That sounds exactly pinpointing the people in the weight loss struggle. But I think they all get frustrated and they start to recognize that they're stuck in the circle and that they are going nowhere, which is why they hop from diet to diet. So we're going to help people move from that thought to some of, you know, applying some of the qualities of becoming a pro that will kind of kick you out of that addiction circle.
Yeah, and so many people are addicted to diet books and fitness magazines.
Mm-hmm. But it's an overload.
Yeah, and they don't do the meaningful work, right? They travel in circles. They find a diet, try a diet, quit the diet, and then start all over on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They lose weight, they gain weight, they lose weight, they gain weight. That's kind of the diet mentality. It's that circle. And that is, to me, such it's one of the best definitions of addiction that I've heard, at least as it pertains to our discussion.
Yes.
Repetition without progress, right?
Mm-hmm.
Diet
right,
after
doing
diet.
Doing the same thing,
without
expecting
actually,
different results.
Yep, exactly. So, you know, as you move through this process from amateur to pro, Pressfield talks about how you reach this point that he calls the decision.
Okay.
And he goes back to this whole talk about addiction. He says, turning pro is like kicking a drug habit or stopping drinking. It's a decision which we must recommit to every day. 12-step programs say one day at a time. The professional says the same thing. The professional understands he will wake up facing the same demons, the same resistance, the same self-sabotage, the same tendencies to shadow activities and amateurism that he has always faced. The difference is now he will not yield to those temptations. He will have mastered them, and he will continue to master them.
You know, I think there's just a different level of awareness there, knowing that, say, you're stuck in that whole dieter circle, that struggle, and you bring an awareness to yourself, or something, you know, just rings that bell, turns on that light bulb for you, and you decide one day, I'm sick of this. I'm going to make a change. But just like any addict out there, you have to remind yourself of that change. Be prepared to address that change at every turn.
Yeah, and there's a misconception around weight loss where people believe that when they arrive, they quote-unquote arrive at the fit body, that they will no longer struggle with stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like they won't want treats.
It gets easier.
Yeah, but it's not true. I mean, there's the old Zen proverb that goes, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. Mm-hmm. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. Yeah. Like it's this, the reality is that even though you may achieve your fitness goals, even though you will achieve your fitness goals one day, that you won't have to struggle. And the reality is it will always be a struggle not to want to eat the treat. It will always be more difficult to drink water instead of the sweet things that are out there surrounding us. It will always be more difficult to get up off the couch and go to the gym or mm-hmm. go downstairs and do your P90X or whatever exercise you decide to do. Mm-hmm. That's just the nature of it.
That's just the reality of it. And the quicker and more aware you are of making those decisions, the simpler it becomes.
And, you know, I know we keep repeating that, but I think we have to keep repeating that until people really get that it does get easier. It just takes a while for it to get easier.
Right. And it will all come full circle, and it'll all have like the rhyme and reason. It'll all fit together. Just keep listening.
Yeah. So the qualities of a professional. Let's talk about the qualities of a pro.
Okay. You said the pro shows up every day.
The pro shows up every day. The amateur shows up sporadically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Blythe, go back to your days when you were doing professional bodybuilding, for example.
Mm-hmm. All day, every day. It was just because I made it the number one focus in my life because that was my job at the time. I was living the life of a professional, if you will. I was in that mode all day, every day. It's just like when you go to work, you know you have to be on. You're on from 9 to 5. There's no other option. Usually when we go to work because we all need the money to survive that we get from working, we are on all day, every day. It's the same thing. It's just applying it in a different area of life.
Right. And you kind of moved into the next quality of a pro, but I think it's worth mentioning again that step number one is just showing up every day.
Mm-hmm.
To the fitness lifestyle. It's just deciding every day that you're just going to be the fit person. And as Stephen Pressfield says, you know, this is just like the 12-step program. It's one day at a time. Like you just have to decide today you're going to be fit. And you're going to have to make that decision. You've got to make that same decision every single day.
One of my favorite little quotes that I like to tell people is every time you find yourself faced with a decision, you get to make the choice to move toward your fitness goal, or you have the choice to move away from your fitness goal. Which one will you choose?
And you have to make that same choice every morning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
Which brings us to the next point, or the next quality of a pro, which is the pro stays on the job all day long. The right. amateur takes breaks
mm-hmm.
constantly. Like, you know, can you imagine a professional sports player, you know, on a practice day going over and just, you know, deciding that he just didn't want to practice for the next hour and a half or 2 hours?
I'm going to go lay in the hammock.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, walking up to the coach, say, hey, coach, you know, I decided that I'm just going to go and take a break for a couple hours. So I'll see you in a couple hours.
Right. And that's laughable. And we all know it is.
Because he's a pro. And
right.
pros don't act that way. Amateurs
right.
do.
Right.
And that's, I think, very important because, you know, a pro will wake up in the morning, make that decision that they're going to live fit today, and they will live that decision for the rest of the day. The amateur will say, okay, we'll start the day great, have a high-protein breakfast, and then, you know, come snack time, when they get a little twinge of hunger, they may get up and walk over to the candy machine, grab a candy bar. And then when lunchtime comes around, they may have another salad with some chicken. And then between that 2 and 3 o'clock hour, it may get up and have a donut in the break room. So it's an on or off, it's an on and off kind of process with an amateur. With the pro, it's all day long.
Right.
So quality number three, the pro is committed over the long haul while the amateur is in it for the quick fix.
Quick fix was going to be my little thing too. That's kind of where we fall into that whole dieter circle thing. You know, if it doesn't work within 4 weeks and you don't see tremendous results, then you decide to be not committed anymore. 4 weeks is not the long haul. The long haul is a lifetime.
And you know what? The publishing industry knows this. I mean, go to the bookstore and look in the diet section.
Yes.
The books that are out on the tables, you know,
the covers.
Ones, the covers, they're all like the latest one I saw was what one of the guys from one of those TV shows. It wasn't The Biggest Loser, but one of the TV shows with the stars. It was the doctor from that show where the stars would try to lose weight. And his latest book is Lose 14 Days and 14 Pounds in 14 Days, when the reality is it probably is Lose 14 Days in 14 Pounds.
Okay, I just have to debunk that. Nobody gains 14 pounds in 14 days. It's impossible.
It is impossible. You can't lose it either, at least not permanently.
Right. Okay. So, anyway, I just had to go there for 1 second.
But I had noticed on that table that practically every book was claiming that they could help you lose 30 pounds in 30 days. And so they know that this is what we want. They know that most of us out there are amateurs, and amateurs look for the quick fix.
They're marketing to the amateurs.
Right, but not you. Not if you're going to become a pro. You've got to commit to the long haul. You know, there's a process that is going to occur whether you like it or not. That process is you plant the seed, you cultivate the seed, and you harvest the fruit. Most of us want to plant the seed and harvest the fruit the next day. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way at all. And we all know that, but we all keep trying and failing and wondering why it doesn't work. This is why.
Because we're acting like amateurs. Mm-hmm. So when you become a pro, you're not going to fall into buying those infomercial fitness equipment that claims that they'll help you lose 10 pounds in 10 days.
Right. Well, let's go back to the thought of if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. There's a lot of truth in that saying.
Yep, for sure, especially in weight loss. So
yes.
All right. Now, number four is the pro believes that the stakes are high and real. The amateur believes that the stakes are low because there's always tomorrow. You know, I saw a commercial for the Olympics, which is the Sochi Olympics, which is beginning here soon at the time of this podcast. And the commercial was one of the athletes was saying, when you work for 4 years for a single event, basically everything matters.
Yes. You know?
And that's kind of the professional mentality, right?
I understand that. When you said working for 4 years for one day, I get that. You know, that is really putting your heart and soul into something. And I believe that can be done with anything, not just a sport. But, you know, when you read the number four, the pro believes that the stakes are high and real. The amateur sort of takes that too lightly, not as if it's not a serious statement. But really, I think if all of us take that seriously and these stakes are high and this is real, it makes it simple.
Oh, yeah. And it makes it serious.
Just cut and dry. Yeah, serious. It makes it just so real and just do it.
Right. When we eat, let's say, a burger and fries, and we say to ourselves, one won't kill me. You know, the reality is one won't kill you. But one every other day for, you know, the next 5 to 10 years
will set you. It will kill you.
It could kill you. Yeah. You know, if everybody ate a hamburger and then had a heart attack, then nobody would eat a hamburger.
Right.
But people eat a hamburger and they don't have a heart attack, so they eat another one. And then they don't have a heart attack and they eat another one. And then 10 years down the line, they have the heart attack and they think, well, God, why did this happen to me? But that's the way the pro thinks is that, you know what, that hamburger matters. That hamburger is a very real threat to my health.
Mm-hmm.
So number five, the pro is patient. The amateur wants results tomorrow or they quit.
Okay, and that's kind of like being committed over the long haul.
It is.
You realize that this is going to take some time.
Very much so. So quality number six is the pro seeks order. The amateur accepts clutter and disorganization.
Okay. I think there was a podcast where you had mentioned if you want to take a little peek inside somebody's life to see how their brain operates, look inside their vehicle. Wasn't that, didn't we mention that in a podcast one time? And if it's totally disorganized and trashed out, odds are their way of thinking is cluttered that way.
Right. Your external environment is a representation of your internal environment. And that really can stand in the way of weight loss, right?
Absolutely. You know, this is funny. When I meet new clients and I walk to their car after the session is over, I look at their car and it's total disarray. That sort of veers me in the right direction. And I know I have got to help this person get organized because that's going to be a different starting point than somebody who is externally already organized.
Right. Now, I will say on the flip side, there are plenty of people out there who struggle with weight. And then you go in the car and everything's in perfect order, and you go in their house and everything's in perfect order. Mm-hmm. You can kind of flip that. I mean, you can be too obsessively organized with mm-hmm. stuff. And that too can be a problem because then you seek perfection and perfection never comes.
Yes.
And I have dealt with clients and patients who are perfectionists, and it is their perfectionism that causes their struggle with weight.
Yes. Yes. It becomes one of the hurdles for them.
Right. Mm-hmm. But so you got to find the happy medium. You want organized thought. You want order within your life and within your brain, but you don't want to seek perfection. In fact,
well put.
A friend of mine, Jill Coleman of JillFit.com, recently did a blog post on the subject of needing to be a perfectionist and how that stands in your way of your fitness goal. So you might check that out at JillFit.com.
Okay.
All right. Quality number 7, the pro demystifies, the amateur builds confusion into their life. You know, with weight loss, confusion occurs when you rely on others to figure out the formula for you, right?
By yes.
Saying a pro demystifies, it basically speaks to the fact that the pro figures themselves out. They test, they tweak, they learn from the experiences of others, but they build their own formula. They don't just accept everybody else's formula. I mean, think about this, Blythe. What do a lot of people do? We've already talked about it. They go out, they find a diet book. They test it out for a week, doesn't work. They find another diet book. So now they're basically going from one person's formula to another person's formula. And it causes confusion because in the fitness world, you and I both know, there's tons of clashing, isn't there?
Yeah. There's tons of different formulas, and there is no one formula that is suitable for everybody either.
And that's kind of the problem. So the pro basically demystifies things by thinking through. And they follow basically a kata approach. They commit to one program, and then they just assess things, tweak it, and assess again. It's the kata approach. That's the professional approach. So number 8 is the pro acts in the face of fear. The amateur thrives on fear. Now, I know that sounds strange for me to say, but the reality is the weight loss journey is scary. We fear that we're only going to eat bland foods forever. We fear that we won't be able to enjoy ourselves at parties. We fear that our friends will be jealous if we lose the weight and then hate us for losing the weight and being the skinny one in the bunch. We fear that we'll eat well, exercise, and still not be able to lose weight. I mean, it's okay to fear, but the pro basically faces the fear down and then calls its bluff. That's what the professional does.
Right. Go toe-to-toe with it. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it is a grizzly bear with a chainsaw. You need to just stand toe-to-toe and look that fear in the eye.
Yeah. You know, they say courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is action in spite of fear.
I like that.
Yeah. So that's what the pro is. The pro is courageous. The amateur is fearful. So very, very important point there. Number 9, pros accept no excuses. The amateur is an excuse machine. Blythe, you speak to this because I know you deal with a lot of excuse machines.
I do, and it's become one of my pet peeves because I've probably heard every excuse in the book. I don't have enough time. I have kids. I don't know what to eat. Now, these are all things that you can face head on. Go back to point number 8. The pro acts in the face of fear. You have got to become a pro and face those fears so you don't have to make up excuses.
There is nothing in this world that you can't learn on your own.
That's right.
I mean, really, I oftentimes joke that if we're ever in a zombie apocalypse and somebody in our tribe needs a appendix removed, mm-hmm. get me a medical book and a scalpel, and I'll give them at least a 50% chance of surviving. Okay. So you can basically learn anything in this day and age. So you can't make excuses. Time, we all get 24 hours. The person mm-hmm. who is 9% body fat and the person who is 40% body fat, they mm-hmm. get the same 24 hours in a day. You can't use excuses. Time is an excuse. We're all busy people.
Right.
But you've just got to find the right priority. You've got to find the right systems in your life that free up the time that you need to make the progress that you're looking to make.
I found that a little tough love with yourself or getting a little tough love from somebody like myself often helps push you past the excuse barrier.
Absolutely. So, number 10, the pro plays it as it lays. The amateur wastes time complaining about their cards. You know, look, genetics can suck sometimes. You know, Brian Tracy, one of my friends, my virtual mentors, if you will, he once asked the question, if the worst thing that you were forced to do each day was to eat a live frog, it wouldn't help to sit around and complain about it for an hour.
Right.
You just eat the frog.
Get it over with.
Yeah, with the knowing that everything else that you'll have to do for the rest of the day will come easy. Mm-hmm. You know, with weight loss, nothing is made of steel. It's all malleable. But you have to get to work, you know, working the putty. You have to get to work kind of building the lifestyle that you want to have. And so we, you know, some of us are cursed with genetics that make it easy for us to store fat and hard for us to burn it. But that doesn't mean you can't burn it. It just means that it's going to be harder for you than it will the skinny friend who eats a Big Mac and doesn't gain an ounce.
And that's okay, because you can feel good about your achievements. And we're not all meant to look and be the same. But we can all be a healthier version and a leaner version of what we are today.
You know, I've never met somebody who's met 100% of their genetic potential from the perspective of weight loss. And, you know, there's always room for improvements in our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm,
and
absolutely.
As you mentioned, we all don't have to be stick people, but we all can be much better versions of where we are right now.
Absolutely. I'm a huge believer in that.
Number 11, the pro is prepared. The amateur wings it. The professional fat cutter spends time making good food for the week. They build systems that make the fitness lifestyle as accessible as humanly possible. I mean, it's not that it's easy. It's just accessible. The amateur just exercises when they feel like it. They eat out when hunger strikes. They don't carry snacks with them.
One of my biggest preaches, I guess, to anybody for that matter, anybody who is interested in weight loss, the way I can determine whether they're really prepared to become a pro or not is whether or not they will do what it takes. And 75% of that equation is preparing your food. And if you are somebody who cannot prepare for the day, like you said, we all have the same 24 hours.
Who will not prepare for the day.
But will not prepare for the day. You're just not taking yourself seriously yet. That will come, but if you want to gear yourself, push yourself in the right direction, shove yourself in the right direction, start by preparing your meals for the day or plan ahead for half the day even. You know, plan ahead just for breakfast and then move to the morning snack. And then soon it will be breakfast and lunch. Soon it will be breakfast, lunch, and afternoon snack. Soon you'll be planning your workouts ahead of time. You know, don't just wing it every day. You can't expect a normal routine for your body, or you can't expect your body to show results of a normal routine without providing it a normal routine. And being prepared will help you with that.
And it's small things. You know, I remember a couple years back, you know, I was driving home. I got caught in a huge snowstorm, and it was taking me literally like 3 or 4 hours just to get home. And
I don't miss that weather.
No. And I remember that I was starving, and I remembered, hey, I have a pack of cashews in my in my bag, you know, that I keep for just such an occasion. And so I reached in, grabbed the cashews, ate them down, and you know, it wasn't a full meal, but it took the edge off. And so
you felt good about it, didn't you? Because you had prepared yourself by having something healthy within reach.
Absolutely. And when I got home, I wasn't starving. And if I had gotten home and I hadn't had something to eat for 4 hours, in that car after having such a tough time getting back, I'm sure I would have just grabbed whatever handy
first
food
thing you could find
that I wanted to eat, whatever tasty treat was nearby. So
right.
It's the pro is prepared. The amateur has a tendency to just say, I'll just wing it. It's the belief. It's a deep down belief that they can make good choices in the moment, and it just doesn't work out that way for them.
That becomes exhausting too when you're headed, when you're faced with a new choice about what to eat constantly. When you don't have a plan in place, let me just rephrase that. When you do have a plan in place, you don't have to make a choice every time you turn around. If you don't have meals prepared, you're faced with a choice, and those become mentally exhausting.
That's true. I mean, the average person, research has shown, the average person has to make over 200 food decisions every single day.
Crazy.
It's crazy. And what if you could change that just to 7 food decisions every day? And even those decisions were pre-made for you from the morning, because you already packed up your food and you put it in a container and you took it with you. So now you only have to make 1 food decision every day.
There you go. And you know what? That's a perfect example of how this becomes simpler.
Absolutely. We've talked about how that part of the brain that's responsible for willpower is the same part of the brain that has to make decisions, and it gets fatigued every single time you have to make a decision, which is why some research has suggested that dieters have a tendency to have a significantly increased risk of cheating on their spouse, because they don't have the mental power left over to resist the temptation.
Yes.
So it's I think that was a great point, Blythe. I think that's one that was worth repeating for people. So
absolutely.
Yeah, good. Number 12, the pro does not show off. The amateur shows off their weight loss knowledge. The pro fat cutter just lives the talk. There's nothing special about it. It's just their day-to-day life, right? Blythe,
right.
You get up, you make good food choices, and it's not that you go around telling people about, this or that diet. Like, amateurs have a tendency to make big deals about the latest, greatest weight loss discovery that they found.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just your day-to-day life. There's nothing special about it. They don't show off.
There's nothing special about it. Really, there's not. It's a plain old routine.
Being a new father myself, I have come to realize, that becomes more and more true, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it pays off, right?
Yeah.
It helps you organize your time, because we both know that, having a baby, having children in the home just absorbs some of that time.
Yeah, and, you have to learn to build new systems in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'll point this out as well. It's a new opportunity to make a change in your underlying philosophy. Like when you have a major shift, like, for example, I just had a little girl, and this is my first, although my wife has a 4-year-old, that you have an opportunity to make a change for your life for the better or for the worse. A lot of people just and this comes back to being prepared. If you just wing it, you're screwed. There's no
yes.
doubt about it. When you have a baby, when you have a new family, you're screwed if you just decide to wing it. You've got to have a system in place.
And you know what? This is interesting. I like that you brought that point up, because you can wing it with a child, but people take having a child a lot more seriously than they take their own health.
True.
So there's a little bit of leeway when you're talking about your own health, because it's something you it's not going to cry. It's not going to cry. It's not going to wake up every 15 minutes hungry for food. Your body will adjust. A baby will not.
And, I said it before, I'll say it again. The best thing you can do for your family is to keep breathing. So you've got to prioritize your health. You've got to prioritize keeping lean and healthy.
Absolutely.
So, quality number 13 is the pro dedicates herself to mastery. The amateur aims for competence.
Okay.
So what's the difference between competence and mastery?
I guess being competent is being able to, fly by the seat of your pants and know that you can get it done. But the difference between being competent and a master is somebody who, it kind of incorporates all of the things we've talked about before. You go into it with preparation. You You have an expectation for yourself. You have a set routine. Mastery is being able to do all of these things, not flying by the seat of your pants, but because it's a routine, because you have implemented it.
Right. And I think the difference is when we're talking about mastery, you know, like when you say by the seat of your pants, basically you're saying that, you know, they may go into the gym, you know, with no plan, for example, no workout plan, and just hop on the first machine that they see, you know, and they're confident on that machine.
Yes.
But a pro is always dedicating themselves to not just being okay, you know, an amateur may hop on the treadmill and just go for a jog, whereas a pro will have kind of researched the literature and come to the realization that high intensity interval training is probably more of an effective tool for them. Mm-hmm. So they take that jog beyond the competence into the level of mastering something like high intensity interval training.
Mm-hmm.
So, and mastery also brings one extra level, and that level is the ability to shift according to the circumstances within their life. So you get to the gym, the amateur is fantastic on the treadmill, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But every treadmill is taken. What now? The master knows exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
The amateur doesn't. And they get mentally, confused at that point because they don't have the mastery on other equipment, on other ways to kind of build their fitness.
Right, just work out. Yeah, okay. Okay, I like that. You hit a really good point there. I like that a lot.
All right. So number 14, the pro does not hesitate to ask for help. The amateur goes it alone.
Okay. Why is that? Why are people afraid to ask questions? They'd rather look like a pro but feel incompetent.
Instead of
being comfortable with asking a question because it's okay to not know. It's almost like reverse psychology right there.
Yeah, I mean, how many professionals do you know? Let's take a professional athlete, for example. How many professional athletes do you know that don't have a coach?
None.
Yeah, I mean, you take, you know, like Anthony Robbins, one of the things that he talks about is that, you know, oftentimes the people who seek out his services are the people who seemingly don't need him. It's the ones who do need him that don't seek out his services.
It's the people that are truly serious about becoming a master or a pro,
right,
that seek his professionalism out.
Right. And by the way, an amateur may see reading a diet book as seeking help. That's not seeking help. That's going it alone.
Okay.
And so, you know, I mean, listening to the podcast, that's one way that you do seek help. We just had somebody who emailed us from a different country who was seeking help. And, you know, that's when you know somebody is really taking that next step towards mastery, is when they start to seek out assistance and support from other people who have been where they've been or who know how to get to the destination that they're seeking.
I just have to say that email that we did get, and I can't mention any names, but it was from a young person, from a 16-year-old, and that just like blew me away. It seriously brought happy tears to my eyes because reaching out at that level of amaturity is just amazing. I mean, he's already on his way to becoming a master.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so number 15, we're almost at the end of all these qualities of a pro, isn't it? It just goes to show you that they all kind of build on top of each other.
Yes.
There's a lot of overlap in these things, but it's so enlightening for me to read these descriptions as to what determines a pro, because I can see the areas where I'm falling short, where I'm an amateur and not a pro.
And, you know, if anybody is listening and you can go back through this podcast and write down these points and just have a list, you can go back through and just by reading them, you know, it just kind of brings it back to that level of awareness. Like, oh, yeah, you know what? I could work on that today. It helps you set a goal,
right.
Short-term goal.
Short-term, long-term, whatever. But, absolutely. So the pro, and this is number 15, the pro does not take failure or success personally. The amateur steps on a scale, and the number on that scale is a judgment on their character, on who they are. The number on that scale will dictate whether or not they're going to have a good or a bad day, because they take both success and failure personally. You know, ideally, you might think that when the scale goes down, that I'd want you to feel happy about that. But the reality is, I want you to feel like it's data, like it's cold data. Because if that number can make you feel good, it can also make you feel bad. I'd prefer that it make you feel nothing, that it just be a cold information that you can use to determine how you need to shift your lifestyle.
That's good. Feeling different about the number on the scale. I like that.
All right. And number 16, the pro endures adversity. The amateur taps out at the first touch of the toe. Now, what do I mean by taps out at the first touch of the toe? Well, years and years ago, you know, I grew up in a household with two other brothers, and we were all about a year and a half apart from each other. And from time to time, we would get into wrestling matches, and I would wrestle my little brother, who was, you know, smaller than I was. And so we'd get in the wrestling match, we'd be tumbling about on the floor, and then all of a sudden, he'd go for what we called the dreaded toe lock.
Okay.
And so when you grab the big toe and you pull it back, you tap out. And like when it got to the point that when we'd be wrestling around, and as soon as he touched the toe, I was tapping out, because I knew if I
you
waited,
knew what was next.
Yeah. And so the pro, that was me being an amateur. The pro would, you know, when you look at professional wrestlers, for example, you know, the on TV, mm-hmm. when they get in the ring with an amateur wrestler, you know, from time to time you'll see a nobody who's standing in the ring already as the guy comes down, and you know darn well that guy is he's a goner, because right. Nobody knows who he is. And so they get in the ring, and as soon as they get a submission hold on them, they tap out instantly.
Right.
But when you get two pros in there, they may get the submission hold, and they don't tap out. And they struggle, and they reach for the ropes, and oftentimes they get to the rope. And so it's a characteristic of the pro that they endure the adversity. They don't tap out at the first touch of the toe. They push through when times get tough. And in the beginning, burning fat sucks. It sucks. We've mm-hmm. said that in the past, and we'll say it again. The fitness lifestyle requires a shift in expectation.
Yes.
Because you can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it. And the current mind wants easy. And easy isn't in the cards for you right now.
Right.
It will be easier later on down the line, mm-hmm. but it's not in the cards for you right now. It's going to be tough. And you have to accept that.
And the accumulation of all those efforts will pay off in dividends, but you just have to be patient.
Absolutely. All right, number 17 of 18. Okay, 17, the pro self-validates. The amateur is validated by the praise of others, and they're also torn down by the criticism of others. You know, a professional athlete, you see it all the time. People, I mean, there are always haters out there, and depending upon what team you follow, yeah, there may be a professional athlete that somebody doesn't like simply because they're the best. And, the pro just says, you know what, you're entitled to your opinion. I know I'm the best.
Right, just let it roll off the back.
Just let it roll off the back. And the amateur is validated by the praise of others. They love it when somebody says, hey, are you losing weight? But yeah. The problem with that is the same problem with the scale is – you know, if somebody else can make you feel great, they can also make you feel horrible.
They can take that away, yeah.
And, you know, when somebody says something good about you, I want you to feel the positive feelings of that. But you can't allow somebody else to come around and tear you down. That was, you know, that young man that emailed us was having this problem as well. You know, he was 16 years old, and the kids in school were criticizing his weight, and he was allowing himself to be torn down by that. And one of right. the messages that we had for him was, they don't know you, you know.
Just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah, their opinion of you is none of your business, because it's not about you, is it? It's about them.
Them, yeah.
Some people build themselves up by breaking other people down. Other people build themselves up by building other people up. And,
yes.
There are just basically two ways to feel better about yourself. Either you can make everybody else around you feel horrible about themselves so that you look like you're the top of the bottom of the barrel, if you will. Mm-hmm. Or you can just really help people feel good about themselves. And in the process, you become associated with that crowd of feel-good people. And then that lifts you up.
Mm-hmm. That's the way to go.
That's right. So pros self-validate. And they have a tendency to hang out with other pros.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, you surround yourself by people who will uplift you while you uplift them.
Absolutely. And that's a big point here, because a lot of you listeners out there have friends and family that violate this rule, that violate the rule of lifting you up. You know, they should. If you have somebody who's constantly beating you down, and you allow some of that to get in, even a tiny drop of that mm-hmm. is like cyanide under the tongue.
Yes.
So you've got to distance yourselves from them. Right. Number 18, the pro reinvents herself. The amateur believes themselves to be cursed.
Okay. So reinventing yourself, like being open to making changes?
Yeah. You know, there's a movie that's called A Knight's Tale. It's kind of a new agey kind of knight movie, you know, about the Middle Ages. But I loved that movie. And the whole concept of the movie was, it was this peasant boy who wanted to be a knight, but you couldn't be a knight unless you were royalty.
Okay.
And so, you know, he goes in faking as though he's a knight, and he's fantastic, and he beats everybody. And, you know, in the end, it's discovered that he's not royalty and that he was a phony. And eventually the king comes out and knights him. And so all of a sudden he's, you know, his dreams come true. Well, the reality is you have the option to change your circumstances. And I don't care how bad your genetics are. And like I say, the amateur person who's looking to lose weight, they believe themselves cursed with bad genes, with fat genes. But the reality is we know now that from a genetic perspective, genes are malleable. We can change how our genes are activated. Mm-hmm. And so from the perspective of professional, you just got to reinvent yourself each and every time. When something doesn't work, you fix it. You change it until it does work.
Huh, okay. I mean, it sounds so simple.
It is simple.
It is simple. It truly is.
So, okay. So those are the qualities of being a pro. Okay. And man, there's a lot of stuff in that, isn't there?
That's a ton of information.
So I guess what we'll do is I want you guys to just stew over that for now. And what we're going to do is in the next podcast, Blythe, why don't we go through and we're going to teach people how to become a pro.
Okay.
All right, but
like a part two.
A part two, right. Okay. I want you guys to really think about the qualities of a pro. Go through each one of those points, and I'm going to list them out really quickly for you. The pro shows up every day. The amateur shows up sporadically. Number two, the pro stays on the job all day long. The amateur takes breaks. Number three, the pro is committed over the long haul. The amateur is in it for the quick fix. Number four, the pro believes that the stakes are high and real. The amateur believes that the stakes are low because there's always tomorrow. Number five, the pro is patient. The amateur wants results tomorrow or they quit. Number six, the pro seeks order. The amateur accepts clutter and disorganization. Number seven, the pro demystifies. The amateur builds confusion into their life. Number eight, the pro acts in the face of fear. The amateur thrives on fear. Number nine, the pro accepts no excuses. The amateur is an excuse machine. Number 10, the pro plays it as it lays. The amateur wastes time complaining about the cards they've been dealt. Number 11, the pro is prepared. The amateur wings it. Number 12, the pro does not show off. The amateur shows off their weight loss knowledge to everybody who will listen. Number 13, the pro dedicates herself to mastery. The amateur simply aims for competence. Number 14, the pro does not hesitate to ask for help. The amateur goes alone. 15, the pro does not take failure or success personally. The amateur steps on the scale, and the number on the scale is a judgment on their character. Number 16, the pro endures adversity. The amateur taps out at the first touch of the toe. Number 17, the pro self-validates. The amateur is validated by the praise of others. They're also torn down by the criticism of others. Mm-hmm. And number 18, the pro reinvents herself. The amateur just believes themselves to be cursed.
Very good. That's a ton of information. I think that people listening to this podcast will be satiated for you know, learning what it takes to become a pro. This is a big job, and we don't expect you to do it overnight. But these are some great guidelines, and they can all be applied to our way of living a healthy and fit lifestyle.
Absolutely. And so the first step is simply running an inventory and finding out where you're strong, you know, which of those qualities you have and which of them you need to build. Get that list ready. And then in not the next episode, the next episode, I'm going to be interviewing Jonathan Baylor. Again, which I always love to have him on. And
he's an awesome guy.
He is an awesome guy. And his message, I think, is very important. And then the following podcast after that, we're going to finish this discussion on becoming pro. And we're going to talk about how you become a professional, what it takes. All right. So
I'm looking forward to it.
That's it for today's show. If you want to learn more about us, be sure to go to Facebook and just search for Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word. Like the page, get involved with the community. The people there are just fantastic. We're on there answering questions and leaving comments and such. And be sure to check us out on iTunes as well. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast already on iTunes, please do so. And if you feel so inclined, go ahead and leave us a rating on there. And we'd love to read those. So that's it for today. We'll see you next time here on Cut the Fat Podcast.
Say you wanna try something new, a little twist of what you know is true. You're in a cloudy home, a shed don't touch you, and you feel a blessed and pop the pussy's glue. And all the sticky things that keep me sad.